Well, good morning. I'm not going to lie. I don't think I sweat this much since yesterday when I went for a run. Well, yesterday I went running in the sun. It was 11 o'clock in the morning, and I went out for 7 miles, and my drips had drips. But, I'm a little nervous this morning. I look out, and, well, you're not children. So I'm used to talking with kids, but we're going to have a great time tonight and today, and we're going to be talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you please pray with me? Lord, I thank you for your free gift, although it wasn't free for you. You suffered. You were willing to put yourself on the cross so we could have eternal life. And Lord, I thank you. I thank you from the bottom of my heart that you chose me. That you came and you offered yourself for me. Help me, Lord. Help us as a church body to go out and spread your word. For that is your will. And it is our job. I thank you and I praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to start out this morning by thinking about when you first came to know the Lord. Were you 5 years old? Some of you probably 5, 6 years old, and your Sunday school teacher led you to Christ. For some of you, it might have been a teenager. For me, I was 13 years old. For some of you, it might have been just last year as an adult. But whenever you came to Christ, when you accepted Christ as your Savior, for me, I stood there and I was like, now what? Now what? What am I supposed to do? I don't know. And I know the man who led me to Christ, the first words he said out of his mouth was, breathe. Breathe. Relax. God's going to work in you. And you have to let him do the work. You mean I don't have to do anything? No, you have to do something. You have to spread his word. You have to do things so God can be spread and God can be heard throughout the world. So today, we're going to talk about God's or our job description. How do we navigate becoming a Christian? How do we navigate, now that we are one of Christ's followers, how do we navigate this windy road that we have to travel? For some of us, I got to keep forgetting to do this. All right, that's not the one. There we go. Okay, I decided to put down a job description. So, what is our title? Christian. What is a Christian? What is a Christian? Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah. You go to school. Go to school this week. Ask the question, how many of you are Christian? Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah. Oh, I'm not Jewish. I'm not Hindu. Oh, I must be a Christian. Oh, I'm a Christian. What does the word Christian mean? Anybody? Little Christ. Christ follower. You are Christ's follower. You are his little child. You belong to him. It's not just a word that we say, well, we're not Jewish. I'm not Hindu. I must be a Christian. Yeah. I live in the United States. I'm a Christian. Yeah. Okay? Just because we go to church doesn't make us a Christian. Just like, and I'm going to steal a verse from an old song, just like going to McDonald's doesn't make you a hamburger. Okay? We're not Christians just because we go to church. We are Christ's followers. And who do we report to? We report to Jesus Christ. Everything we do goes back to him. We give him a daily report. Well, we should. Lord, here's what happened today. Here's what we did. Here's what you wanted me to do, and here's what I did. Every morning I have a 5-minute commute. And in those 5 minutes I say to the Lord, help me to be more like you. And at the end of the day, I have to report back. I have to give my daily report. Lord, this is what I did today. Forgive me because I was stupid at 7 o'clock, and then again at 8 o'clock, and then again at 9 o'clock, okay? I teach high school kids, okay? My sarcasm got a little overboard there. I'm sorry. I apologize. But I report back to him at the end of the day, this is what I did, God. Thank you for assisting me with my 77 kids in my second period class because I couldn't handle them, but you were able to control that situation. Thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you for that. But please help me because I screwed up here and I screwed up there. I report back to him. What are my minimum qualifications for becoming a Christian? What are my minimum qualifications? Well, first, I have to love God's Son, Jesus. Do you love Jesus today? Do you love his word? Because if you love his word, we have to be in it. I'll be the first to admit, I'm not there. I'm not there. So God, forgive me. Forgive me for not being in your word as often as I should be. Because there's where I learn. I can't do it by myself. I can't walk around and say, oh, yeah, I'm good. I'm good today. I got this. No problem. I've been a Christian now for 40 years. I got this. No, you don't. You don't unless you get into his word and find out what he wants you to do. Because it's full of promises. Promises that we don't even know. It's full of things that we need to be doing on a daily basis. But we don't know them because we don't pay attention to it. So, we have to love God's Son. We have to love his word. And then we have to have a love for his people. We have to have a love for his people here. And we have to have a love for lost people. And sometimes we just don't do that. Shh, I'm a Christian. Don't tell anybody. I'll get in trouble. How many of us do that? Don't tell anybody. Shh, I'll try to behave. Shh. God doesn't want us to be quiet. What was that last song? Scream it from the mountain. Go tell it to the masses. Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? Now, we can't be standing on the street corner yelling and screaming. People, that doesn't always work. That doesn't always work. But we have to have a love for other people. We have to have a desire to build relationships. Because that's what matters. I've been teaching phys ed, gym, for 30 years. It's all about building relationships. When I coach cross country or coach track, it's all about building those relationships. I go out for a run, and let's say I'm running with Sammy, and Sammy and I now have a half hour to 45 minutes together, and we're going to build a relationship. I'm going to ask her how she's doing, and I'm going to ask her what her day is going on and what's happening in her life. And while she's telling me this, I'm praying for her, and I'm building a relationship. And if I build that relationship, now, later on down the road, Sammy and I can have some serious conversation. And when Sammy's hurting, Sammy comes and says, hey, Mr. Dan, can you pray for me? Hey, Mr. Dan, I'm really struggling here. And I'm building a relationship. And if you build relationship with those who are lost, guess what? They're going to do the same thing. They're going to come to you and they're going to say, hey, I'm really struggling. And I know that you know God. I know that you know the answers. Can you help me? And guess what? You just built a relationship. And you may not lead that person to Christ, but you cultivated the ground. We always talk about farming, okay? You tilled the ground. You loosened up the soil. Or maybe you planted the seed. You may not be the one who harvests, but you're the one who's going to take care of it. You're one of the steps that gets things taken care of. So understand that you're responsibility is to make sure that you build relationships with those who are lost. Wrong one. All right, duties and responsibilities. What is your duty? What are your responsibilities? We talked about this just a little bit. Here we go. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. Jesus said, not my words, this is what Jesus said, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, Go. Go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded or taught you. And surely I will be with you always to the end of the age. He's with you today. He's with you today, and he's willing to step out on the ledge for you. All authority. Go and make disciples, teaching them everything that I have commanded you. Did Jesus just grab 12 people? Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 12. All right, you guys, here it is. 5 seconds, ready, go. Go out and take care of it. He didn't do that. It took 3 years. He took 3 years to develop a relationship with those 12 men. And in 3 years, those 12 men trusted him. They trusted him with their lives. And then he said, now go, because you are equipped. You have what you need to go and tell others. So go. Second, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You will receive power from the Holy Spirit. You will receive the Holy Spirit's power. You can't do it on your own. There is no way that you can do it by yourself. So God said, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to take care of the situation. He's going to soften people's hearts. He's going to allow you to have that relationship and allow that communication to happen. And if that doesn't happen, then we just move on. So he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and throughout the earth. Start small. That's what I read out of that. Start small. What is your circle? Your circle of friends. Are they Christians? What about those you work with? That small group of people. I have a phys ed department of 10. That's a small group. Start with that. Start with people that you know, people that you work with, people you can develop a relationship with, and then branch out. Those are some of the duties and responsibilities that we have as Christians. We need to make sure that we are doing what we do, okay? Wait, Mr. Van Hal. Whoa, stop. You're going too fast. Slow down. I got all kinds of stuff. Yeah. Remember, I'm a teacher, all right? Visuals always work. Anyway, sometimes we go too fast. We get all this excitement. Let the Holy Spirit lead. Don't get ahead of the Holy Spirit. Don't get ahead, because then we're trying to do it on our own. Okay? So what do we have to do? Okay? Duties and responsibilities. We have to evangelize. We talked about that. You have to go out and you have to do. Now, do we have to be speaking all the time? No. Sometimes evangelism is what we do in our daily lives. Are we showing love to one another? Are we caring for one another? Or do we just say it and we're not doing it? Talk is cheap. What are your actions doing? If you are a true believer, you're going to care about the people you work with. You're going to ask them how their summer went. You're going to ask them how their children are. You're going to care about them. When they're hurting, you're going to stand alongside them. When they're upset, you're going to be there. You don't have to say a word. You're just going to be there. You need to live Christianity as well as speak it. Okay, so how do I do that? First, all of you have a story. You all have a story. Oh, but Mr. Dan, it's really boring. No, it's not. You might think it's boring because it's your story. Somebody else is going to say, wow, that was so powerful. And it might not be the story of how you became a Christian, or how you found Jesus, but it may be afterwards. For me, my story starts after I was married. After I was married, we moved out here to Pennsylvania in faith. I had no job. I had no house. I had nothing. Lynn's father said, I'll provide you a house. You just come. Within a week, I had a job as a security officer at Harley Davidson. It was a job. It was a job. Halfway through the year, I was filling out substitute teaching lists and driving up to Suburban, and I said, I'm going to work here someday. My wife, she went, a year and a half later, I had a job at York Suburban. Now, that's not from me. I never interviewed. I never interviewed. Some people said, oh, you're right place, right time. No, that was Jesus. That was Jesus. When my daughter was born, we were paying for our own health insurance. We couldn't afford it. I said, we're in trouble. We were going to drop our health insurance as of November 30th. I got called in the superintendent's office and said, we can't afford to lose you. We can't offer you a full-time job yet, but we're going to take your health insurance as of December 1st. Is that a Jesus thing? That's a Jesus thing. And Jesus will work in your lives just like he has been doing in mine every single day at York Suburban High School. He'll work in your life if you let him. Oh, but Dan, it's too hard. Put Jesus first. Put Jesus first and he will show you how to do things. And it's not going to be a bed of roses. There are going to be some peaks and some valleys. And yeah, but when we're in those valleys, that's when we hear from God the most, because that's when we seek God the most. When we're at the peak, guess what? Yeah, life is good. I got this. That's when we stumble and fall. And God teaches us a lesson. Every day we rely on him. Every day. So your story's not really dull. But you got to share it. People want to hear it. They do. Oh, not my story. Yes, your story. They want to hear it. So share it. And finally, this is something real simple. The Romans Road. It's a bunch of verses found in Romans. And I went off a little bit too. But these are verses that you can share to the plan of salvation. Write these down. If you're not sure, I can't share. I don't know how to do this. Step-by-step process. It's really simple. It's a good way. It's a simple way of sharing God's love with others. Okay? Whoops, too fast. All right, Romans 3:10. There is no one righteous. No one righteous. Not one. But I'm a good person, Dan. I'm really good. I try hard. I do what's right. I give my offering to the church. I do what I'm supposed to. Matter of fact, I just cleaned out my closet. All the stuff I'm not wearing anymore, I brought to Salvation Army. And the other day I was driving and I saw this guy on the side of the road. It said, help. So I gave him $2 and I said, hey, God bless you. Dan, I'm doing all the good things. I should go to heaven, right? There's no one righteous. Not one. Not one. You can't go to heaven by doing good things. Does God want us to do good things? Absolutely. But we can't go to heaven. Can't go to heaven. Just for doing good stuff? No. Mm-mm. Okay? Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short. All have sinned. We're running the race. Can't get to the finish line. We fall short. Can't get to the finish line. For all have sinned. All. Everyone. I don't sin. Yes, you do. You just did. Okay? Liar, liar, pants on fire. Okay? Yeah. We sin all the time. We sin all the time. We have thoughts in our head that are not appropriate. Okay? Boys. Dang, she's hot. You just sinned. Let's face facts. It happens all the time. We are sinners. And the only one who can save us is God. Jesus. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All right, so Dan, put up that stop sign again. Wait a minute. If we all sinned, If we all sinned, what's the big deal? We're all in the same boat. Does God want us to sin? No. Are we going to get to heaven because of our sin? No. If we continue to sin, there's only one way we're going, and it's not to heaven. Sin will ruin your life. Romans 6:23. What's the penalty for your sin? What's the penalty? Death. Separation from God. For all have sinned and fall short. For the wages or the penalty for sin is death. But God provided his gift. Free gift. Free to you. All you have to do is accept it. It's free to you. He paid the ultimate sacrifice. He hung on a cross for you. How many people ever have a splinter in their finger? Hurts. It hurts. It hurts until you get it taken out. How'd you like to have a nail put through your hand and then through your feet? He suffered for you. He paid the ultimate price for you. So you wouldn't have to go to hell. The wages of sin, you're not going to heaven. You're not going to heaven. So make sure you understand what we need to do. We need to accept the gift of salvation. It's free. All you have to do is say, yes, I want that gift. I want that gift, and I want it today. So you have a choice. Eternal life with Christ, or continue to live in sin and separate from Christ. That's bottom line. There are no options. There are no other options. You don't have a big gamut. Well, whatever. No, you can't. There is no middle road. It's one or the other. Make a choice. For if God came back today, that's the decision. So how do I get this eternal life? Well, let's go back to John. John 3:3. If you remember John 3, Nicodemus, a very important religious ruler, came to Jesus at night. Why did he go at night? Well, he kind of afraid of what people would say. And he said, "Hey Jesus, how do I get this eternal life?" And Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one will see the kingdom of God. No one will get to heaven unless he is born again." And what did Nicodemus say? How can a man crawl back in his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus said, "Oh no, I'm not talking about physical birth. It's a spiritual birth. And then you'd be baptized by water and the Spirit. It's a spiritual birth, a spiritual rebirth. We're all born once, but we can be reborn in Christ by accepting him as our gift." John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. No one goes to the Father. No one goes to heaven except through me." There is only one way to get to heaven. And it's not being good. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Romans 5:8. I love this verse. "But God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Now, I'm a gym teacher. I'm not an English teacher. But look at that word "demonstrates." The word "demonstrates" is a present tense word. Present tense. Not a past tense. God didn't demonstrate, God demonstrated. No, God demonstrates. Every day, God demonstrates his love. Because I am a sinner. And I sin every day. And because I sin every day, God demonstrates his love for me by dying on the cross. Every day. Every day he dies on the cross for me because I am a dumb sinner. Every day, Christ says, I will take your pain. I will take your pain. Ray Bolts has a ton of great songs. Did you feel the nails in his hands every time I sinned? Do you feel the nails every time? Because that's what he does. Every time you sin, Christ feels the nail in his hand. I will take that punishment for you. I will take that punishment because I care for you and I love you. That's what Jesus says. He demonstrates on a daily basis his love for you. Going back to our Romans road. Romans 10, 9 and 10, and then verse 13. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There's your guarantee. There's your guarantee in writing. If you believe in your heart and you speak it out loud, confess. I confess with my mouth. Okay? You are justified. And it's with your mouth that you confess and you are saved. Everyone who calls upon the Lord will be saved. So you have a job to do. Okay? If you want to know Christ, two things you have to do. First, you have to believe in your heart and you have to confess with your mouth. I am a sinner, God. I am a sinner. And I sin on a daily basis. And I will continue to sin. We do. But God wants us to work on that on a daily basis to get better. We don't want to keep doing the same sin over and over and over and over again. If it is, then we're not confessing it. We confess it and we try to do better with God's help. And we constantly have to ask, God, please help me with this. You take control of this situation. You allow yourself to take this sin and get rid of it in my life. And he may not. Even Paul had a thorn in his side. And that thorn was probably a sin that he did on a regular basis. But confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart. And you will be saved. Romans Road. Okay, come on. Now we're not working. Okay, Ephesians. There we go. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. This is one of those memory verses from Awana. You don't save yourself. It's God's grace. It's God's grace that saves you. Because God cares for each and every one of you. God wants you to be in his family. He doesn't want you separate. He wants you to be in his family. It's by God's grace. It's by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's not of yourselves. You can't do it by yourself. It's a gift from God. Will you accept that gift? And again, you may not see that person come to Christ right away. You may be tilling the soil. You may spread the seed. Somebody else may take responsibility of bringing that person to Christ, but you spread the seed. That's what God wants you to do. Build relationships. Build relationships. Get to know people. Those are the things that we need to do to make sure that we have the opportunities then to speak to others. So, now what? What do we do? What do we do? First, we have to remember, lost people matter. We've heard that before. We've heard that before. About a year or 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, Pastor Don spoke and said, lost people matter. What are we doing for the lost people? Or are we sitting back and saying, shh, we're a Christian, don't tell anybody. trouble. You won't get in trouble. God's going to be glorified. How can you get in trouble? God will be glorified. I know when Dee worked here at the church, lost people mattered. When Dee worked as a nurse at Winterstown, people mattered. She built relationships. And I know another Ray Bolts song, Thank You. That song is going to come up. Thank you. Thank you for giving to the Lord. For I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. These are the people that you touched. And that's what God's going to say. Thank you. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I know Dee heard those words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Why? Because she cared. Do you care about your neighbors? Do you care about those around you? The people who you work with? If you do, it's your responsibility to share God's word. You can't be silent. Because what did Jesus say? If you're silent, the rocks will cry out. Share God's word. Lost people need to start mattering. We're part of the picture. We're part of the picture. So do your part. Become part of the kingdom. Share God's word. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit. We are empowered. Use that power. Lastly, John chapter 17. When Pastor Lee asked me to speak, and I was thinking about what I wanted to talk about, I was thinking about talking about salvation in the Romans Road. And on my way home, I had WJTL on, and there was a speaker on from another church. I don't remember which one. And he was talking about how Jesus prayed. In John chapter 17, Jesus prays for his disciples. And then he prays for future generations. He prays for you in John chapter 17. He prays for each and every one of you. He says, as you sent me, God, into the world, I send them. I send them. He's not talking about the disciples. He's talking about us, future generations. I send them into the world. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Here at Valley View, we have an action plan that we're going to try to implement in the fall. We're trying to do more social groups. Just social. Just to get to go, know one another better. I'll be honest with you. I've been here since 1999. I don't know everybody here. Not well. I know you by name, but I don't know well. And that's my fault, because I didn't reach out to you. So that's one reason why my wife and I said, hey, you know, we like to play golf. Let's just get together with some people and play some golf. Doesn't matter if you can hit the ball or not. Let's just get together and play. Some of you will be getting together just for dinner or a social thing. One great activity that we're doing is the cornament. I can't get used to that word, cornament. I'm a phys ed teacher. It's a cornhole tournament. Anyway, here's a great opportunity for you to come and socialize and evangelize. Bring a friend who doesn't come here to church, and you don't have to say, hey, would you like to come to church? Because guess what? Put the brakes on, Mr. Van Hout. I got to fix those brakes. They're pretty squeaky. Okay? Put the brakes on. People don't want to come to church. That's like, ah. But they'll come to a cornhole tournament. They'll come to a fall festival. Hey, we have food and games. Food? Did you say food? Everybody likes food. Okay? Food? Those are activities that we can do here to bring people in. It's our responsibility to grow the church. And I'm not talking about a physical structure. It's our responsibility to grow the church. God's family. So are we doing it? If no, why not? And I'm asking myself the same question because I don't do a very good job at it. We need to build the church. And the only way that we can do it is by loving others, by sharing, and by growing in relationships. So my challenge to you today is to find someone in the church. Maybe you know them by name. Maybe you know them a little bit. But why can't we get to know each other on a better relationship, better opportunities? Why can't we get together and just have some social contact and say, how are you doing? What's going on in your life? Where are you struggling so I can pray for you? That's what the church is all about. You don't have to write it down on the card. Why can't we just go up to each other and say, what's going on in your life? And how can I pray for you? We don't do that. Why? That's what God wants us to do. And when we do it, He's going to grow our church. And that's our responsibility. That's our job description. And if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you need to step forward and say, yes, let's get this done. Let's get this done. Let's pray. Our great and glorious God. Lord, you spelled it out for us. It's really simple. Yes, we accept you as our Savior. Yes, we know that we're going to heaven. Why would we not share that with others? Why would we not share that? Help us to grow the church. Help us to share with one another the love of Christ. We don't have to stand on a street corner and scream. But we have to get to know others. First in our church, because we don't know other Christians. Help us to grow our small circles a little bit larger. Family members. Co-workers, same school, same business, neighborhoods. As we grow our neighborhoods, Lord, you will set this world on fire. Help us, Lord, to step forward and serve you. I thank you and I praise you for all that you have given. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen.